Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what we have heard already tonight. Diverse testimonies, mind-blowing. Intense climate of worship, revival atmosphere. We cannot claim ignorance of your help, ignorance of your mercy. Thank you for this privilege of knowing you, of this privilege of relationship. Be glorified, be honored, and be adored. Thank you again, and again, and again. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Lord, my heart is longing. Lord, my heart is yearning for you, Lord. Lord, you cannot leave me to myself, oh Lord. Lord, my heart is longing. Lord, my heart is yearning for you, Lord. Lord, you cannot leave me to myself, oh Lord. Rising, racing, and rising in life. And today, it is the racing dimension. Racing and rising by grace. The racing dimension. Very, very quickly, we'll trust God to see as our objective understanding the necessity of racing. Number two, understanding the secrets of racing. Running. It's important to know that Christianity as a whole is called a race. It is the Christian race. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race. Let run with patience the race. To be a Christian, you are in a race. To win, you must run. To be a Christian, you are in a race. To win, you must run. Paul the Apostle speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. Somebody say, God forbid. If you don't have anything to take home tonight, this is what to take home. To be a Christian, you are in a race. To win, you must run. To be a Christian, you are in a race. To win, you cannot crawl. To be a Christian, you are in a race. To win, you must run. What does racing or running imply? Number one, it implies, number one, moving or acting with the sense of urgency. Moving or acting with the sense of urgency. Moving or acting with the sense of urgency. What does racing or running imply? Number two, it implies to move or pass quickly in a particular direction. You are moving or you are passing quickly in a particular direction. To race, to run means you are moving or you are passing quickly in a particular direction. First, it is moving or acting with a sense of urgency, and then it is moving or passing quickly in a particular direction. Number three, it means taking great strides and covering vast grounds in a short time. Taking great strides or making great strides and covering vast grounds in a short time. Your strides are great. Your grounds are covered rapidly in a quick time. Why is racing important? Why should we race? Why should we run? Why is it necessary? Number one, to reach the end of the race successfully. We must run in order to reach the end of the race successfully. You don't stroll to win a race. You don't stroll to win a race. You don't crawl to win a race. You don't stroll to win a race. You don't crawl to win a race. You don't even walk to win a race. To win a race, you hit the road running. You hit the track running. You possess the sense of urgency. You are not sluggish in anything. Romans chapter 12 verse 11. He said, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You are not sluggish about prayer. You are not sluggish about going to church. You are not sluggish about evangelism. You are not sluggish about kingdom business, kingdom service. Otherwise, the devil, the enemy gives you another assignment. To reach the end of the race successfully, you must run. You know, the early church, they attacked the matter of Christianity with such level of alacrity. In Acts chapter 2 verse 47, they were meeting, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The early church was a church that happened literally daily. In Acts chapter 5 verse 42, we see exactly the same thing. And daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not. There was such an urgency about what they were doing. They ceased not. Place it back to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Today, if you do anything small, they say your Christianity is too much. There were people who had issues with us having healing and deliverance service on Tuesday morning. Say something is wrong with these people. Instead of allowing people to go to work, they are holding service on work day in the morning. Are they not encouraging laziness? Are they not encouraging, what do you call that now? The people had issues with that. And I have only one question. Will a sick person go to work on Tuesday? He will take a sick leave. If he has such a terrible pain, will any level of duty make him go to work? He goes to where he can be helped. And so we open the help place on Tuesday morning. There are situations that are worse than even body pain. See, the early church did not care for what you felt. They met daily in the temple from house to house. They had an urgency and alacrity to Christianity. No wonder they saw more results than the church of today. But I can announce to you by prophecy, we are about to take our generation by surprise with the urgency that we shall be possessing from this moment. Shout the loudest, amen. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, you saw urgency in the Berean Christians. And the brethren immediately sent Paul away and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming did and went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, all alacrity, all urgency, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This is how to do Christianity and do it well. With that sense of urgency, with that sense of seriousness. God will never do anything glorious with anyone who is not serious. If it must be glorious, somebody must be serious. If it must be glorious, somebody must be serious. What is the necessity of racing? Do you know I heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He does not wake up from his bed sluggishly. He literally rolled out of the bed by force and hit the ground with his feet, tonguing. Worshipping. Daily routine. Sense of urgency. Why is racing? Why do we need to run or race? Number two is already in the definition. To make great strides and cover vast grounds within our lifetime. To make great strides and cover vast grounds within our lifetime. Lifetime was given for life assignment. Within our lifetime. To fulfill God-ordained goals and visions on time. God-ordained goals and visions on time. Like we have always said, because we do not have eternity to fulfill destiny. Why must we run? We must run because we are not permitted to carry earthly assignment over into eternity. From this world into heaven, no carryover. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, Paul the apostle speaking said, I am ready to be offered. And now, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That finished course, another translation said, I have run my race. I have run my own race. I have run the race. Can you check for that translation? I have finished my race. My race course. My course. I ran the race. Why are we running? It is called making hay while there is day. I have fought the cause. This is the NIV. I have finished the race. So we must finish the race within our lifetime. For that purpose, we must run. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and in verse 4, he said, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. To be able to fulfill God-ordained goals and visions on time and within our lifetime. If God has placed you and called you to serve within a ministry, for example, the vision of that ministry is your life's vision, if God has called you so. And what do? Alignment with that vision and running to fulfill as much of it as you can is part of your life's assignment. This is to make it clear to people. It's part of your life's assignment. Bishop Abioye said, God has called Bishop Oyedepo, gave him a calling, and called him, Bishop Abioye, to function with him in the fulfillment of that calling. He's not wasting his life. because he did not originate a vision. He's only wise enough to find a vision that aligns with his life assignment that God has called him unto to fulfill. So that is very important for clarity for those who may be struggling to originate a vision where there is none, or to originate something, a pioneering vision where there is none. Very important. To cover, to make great strides and cover vast grounds. Number three, why must we run? To outpace and surpass the devices and systems of the enemy. To outpace and surpass the systems and the devices of the enemy. The devices and the systems of the enemy. That is to run faster than the enemy that wants to catch you. To outpace and to surpass the devices and the systems of the enemy. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 46, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And Elijah ran until he ran faster than the systems of enemy Ahab, than the devices of enemy Ahab. Why must we run? You move with speed, energy, and intensity so that you are ahead of the devil in every direction. Ahead of the enemy in every direction. Ahead. Like I used to say, you run until you are too restless to be resisted. Too restless to be resisted. Too restless for your destiny to be arrested. You run until before the devil can fathom where you are going, they see you coming from another direction. Before they can try to understudy you, you are coming from another direction. You are literally unpredictable. They cannot anticipate you. They cannot forecast you. They cannot prognosticate you. Am I communicating at all? That is why you must run. When you are settled at a place, settled without action, without speed, the enemy can locate, localize, and deal with you. Am I communicating at all? You must run and run faster than the devil. I used to hear from my father and the Lord Bishop, Bishop Abiu, especially in those days. He said, wake up before the devil wakes up. I remember asking myself at that time, when does the devil wake up? Hallelujah. At times we'll be talking on the phone. You don't know whether to say good night or good morning, especially if it's around 2 a.m. Am I communicating at all? You outpace the devil. You surpass the enemy. You run faster than the devil. Oh my gosh. You are too slow. That is why they can locate you. When was the last time they easily killed an eagle? But lizard is easily killable. Even though it's running, but they can trap it. And snail, just it is easy. Just put your hand on the ground and catch it. You just carry the ground and catch it, and they do you snail soup. Mensa Otterbill told a story, something I heard, that when he was growing up, they were young. I'm sure before he gave his life to Christ. That they used to go to a particular house to steal mango. And mango, they would climb fence and then go and steal the mango, pluck the mango. One day they came there to where the mango was being plucked, and he heard the sound of a massive dog. Whoa! Wow. And the dog was ferociously coming. He started running. The more he ran, the more the dog pursued. The more he ran, the more the dog pursued. Unfortunate for him, a wall was in front. Where do I go from here? And this dog is not slowing down. He said as he approached where the wall was, before he could have the time to think of what to do, he was on the other side. What is pursuing you from your father's house, you must not allow it to catch you. Hey! What is pursuing you from your father's house, you must not allow it to catch you. The generational curses, the ancestral curses that are after your downfall, you must not allow them to catch you. The bitterness of bitter people, the wickedness of wicked people, the negative expectations of negative people, you must never allow it to catch up with you. That is why you must run. That is why you must run. Tonight I prophesy upon somebody the runner's mantle. I prophesy upon somebody the grace to outrun the devil, to outpace your adversary, the grace to run faster than those who want to locate you and destroy you. I prophesy that grace is released now. Shout the loudest, amen. Look at the neighbor, say, I am running to outpace and surpass the devices and the systems of the enemy. The last time they caught you, the last time they caught up with you, the last time they located you, the last time they tried to destroy you, shall be the last forever. You are moving with speed that will be impossible for them to catch up with. Shout the loudest amen and take your seat. Can you see the reason why you must run now? The reason why you must run now. Number four, why would we run? We run to confuse, confront, and conquer the adversary. Confuse, confront, conquer. The other one, they were trying to catch up with you. This one, you are running towards them to collapse them. Hey! Hey! Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. Have you seen the boxing match before? When this was the other guy is on this side and this guy is on this side. And they say, you come with me, I deal with you. Oh, you don't know who you are talking about. I'm the one to deal with you. Before you can say, praise the Lord, this guy charges. And then this one is wondering, what boldness is this? He gives him one. Poo! Really? Before you can have the time to recover, another, another, another. Before you can say, praise the Lord, he's on the floor. The referee is counting one, two. The man on the floor says, referee, you are on your own. I'm not standing up from here. I can't receive another blow. It is called charging at the enemy. Charging at the enemy. Charging at the enemy. Now, the lion does not walk to catch the prey. He doesn't move slowly like this now. Even if you ever saw him moving slowly, he's just calculating. Calculating the right time. And then before you can say, praise the Lord. Psh. If you have copyright permission, you can show us one of those lions pursuing on the screen. That was what David did to Goliath. He didn't give Goliath the time to process. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 48, 1 Samuel 17, 48, and in verse 49, and it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence his stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. I announce to someone here, every Goliath that has stood in front of your life, in front of your destiny, in front of your ministry, in front of your assignment, in front of God's purpose for your life, after this night, as you connect with the mantle of the runner, you shall collapse them to the ground. You shall collapse them to the ground. Somebody shout, power! Shashka, liteke bagadaga laga yaga dagala. You shall collapse them to the ground. Take your seat. To confuse, to confront, and to conquer the adversary, you must run, you must charge, you must be ferocious, you must have a sense of urgency. Am I communicating? Now, this is the truth. Both the lion and the antelope, they are the one running. The lion must run very fast, otherwise he will die of hunger. The antelope must run very fast. Otherwise he will die as a victim. Am I communicating? The lion must run very fast, otherwise he dies of hunger. The antelope, the impala, they must run very fast, otherwise he ends as a victim. This is the truth now. Whether you are a lion or an antelope, until you run, you end a loser. If you don't want to die as a loser in the battles and the conflicts and confrontations of life, you must be a runner. That is why we run like the way we run. From crusade to crusade, meeting to meeting. All manner. We slow down in the month of May for the sake of our Father and the Lord at the GO, for the programs they scheduled and invited me for, three of them within the same month. Energy to run. Be released upon somebody right now. Energy to run. Receive it now. Number five. Why do we run? To end the race of life in excellence. We run to end the race of life in excellence. That is to win the victor's crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 26. Paul the apostle speaking. He said, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. I'm gunning for a crown. I want to receive a heroic welcome when I meet Jehovah in eternity. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not step aside, thou slothful and sleepy servant. No. To end the race of life in excellence, we must run. The question is, what are the secrets of racing? I am actually running in the message, because the message is running. What are the secrets of racing and running? Number one, the vision of divine purpose. The vision of divine purpose. The vision of divine purpose. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 all the way to verse 4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. that he may run. If you see what God wants you to see, it will make you a runner. The reason why many are not running is they are not seeing what God is showing. If you know what is weighing heavy on the heart of God, what weighs on his heart, if he can communicate the weight of his heart to your heart, it will make you a runner. It will make you a runner. So Lord, what are you saying? Seeing. What are you saying and what are you showing? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to know for my time, for my generation, for this moment? It will make you a runner. The vision of divine purpose. Number two, they strive for excellence. They strive for excellence. That is, the passion to be your very best in the hands of God. To be your very best in the hands of God. The passion to fulfill your life's assignment within your lifetime. It will cause you to run. That passion. That strive for excellence. The passion to be your very best in the hands of God. To be everything God wants you to be. To fulfill life's assignment within lifetime. If that passion is in your heart, it will make you to run. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. As a young man, university undergraduate, medical student, I was practically almost miserable because I was possessed with so much passion, so much desire. I hated something the most, and that is the wastage of life. I didn't want to waste my life. I wanted to live it for the highest purpose possible. If that passion is in your heart, so strive for excellence. It will make you a runner. Number three, the hatred of the enemy's activity. The hatred of the enemy's activities. When you hate the devil with a passion, and you see how he's doing a lot of overtime in our generation, it will make you a runner. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48 to verse 49, that was what made David a runner. It made David to run. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It will cause you to run. The passion to ruin the enemy. The other day I was telling my wife and she laughed. Do you remember what I told you? About finding the devil. She slaps someone. I said, I just wish that there is a way to just find the devil, catch the devil physically, and kill him at once. She could not recover from the laughter. When I said, there is something on my mind, I'm thinking. And she was just wondering, what is it? Yes, she was. I'm just thinking, how I wish there is a possibility of finding the devil, catching him, and just kill him at once. She just laughed and laughed. Said, what a wish. What a desire. I'm sure some of you have wished such things at times. And settle the matter finally. And let your relations rest. And let church members rest. From spirit husband attack. Hallelujah. That hatred. See how many. See the way our nation is today. How many churches in this nation will remember to raise one prayer point once in a week on behalf of the country? That is terrorism, banditry, kidnapping, all manner of things. Somebody travels from somewhere from outside to come to bury his father at home, kidnapped on the road. Will he ever return back to the country? And it doesn't bother people enough to raise it. You are not the one to answer the prayer. At least pray the prayer. If you ask God, he will tell you. These things make us restless. I get some information. My Father in the Lord, please, I wanted you to take note of this. This is happening now. And they communicate with us from everywhere. Please, every pastor here, I like God to baptize you with a hatred for Satan and his activity, especially in our nation. And let all of us have no rest until this nation begins to experience rest. And there shall be rest. And those who will not let our land rest, in a short while, Jehovah God, your God and my God, shall lay them to rest. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. Take your seat. Number 4 is the laying aside of sins, of every sin and limiting weights. The laying aside of every sin and limiting weights of life. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 told us, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset. Beset means set us back. Set back. And so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us. Somebody say a loud amen. There are things that are sins. Lying, cheating, immoral life, drinking. And there are things that are weights. Permanent on the internet. That is not on a productive basis. Weights. And until you drop the weight, you never gain the speed. There are so many people, it is not the devil that is stopping them. It is diverse weights. I learned that for those who are addicted, the addiction permanently ruins their life. I was talking with someone the other day. He said, the only thing on your mind is when you are going to take the next drink or the next shot or the next anything. It's just permanently on your mind. That is the, whatever it is, takes over your life. The laying aside of sins and limiting weight. Number five now is why we are here. Access to the grace of God. That's what the convention is all about. Access to the grace of God gives us speed, makes us to run. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, Paul the apostle speaking that he ran faster than all of them. He was behind them, but is now ahead of all of them by the grace of God. And then also we read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24 to 27. The grace of God on the life of a person will turn him into a runner. When you carry grace, you move and do things effortlessly and easily. You run effortlessly, easily. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say the loud must amen. Number 6, finally, is connection to the hand of God. To the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he ran until he ran faster than the chariot of Ahab. 1 Kings 18:46. And when we are talking of the hand of the Lord, we are talking about the power, the anointing and power of God. The Bible talks about the right hand of his power. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Talking about power. Anything you do to generate power, anything you do to connect the hand of God on your life will make you theorize. It's a new day for you. How many people are ready to run tonight? Can you jump on your feet with a loud shout of praise? take your seat one more minute. You are ready to run tonight and run faster than your enemies and faster than the devil. Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. And the Lord just said something to me now. Your season of stagnation is over forever. In less than 10 minutes, we should be through, but want to pray some brutal prayers. Your season of delay is over forever. Hear what the Lord is saying right now. Not just the stagnation is over. Not just the delay is over. All the years the devil wasted your life. All the years he wasted in your life. There shall be the recovery of the years. The years that the caterpillar, the locust, the cankerworm, the palmerworm has eaten up in your life. There shall be the recovery of your years. You believe it, shout the loudest. Amen. Lift up your hands now. That's right. And lift up your voice. Speak to God. Thank Him and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me.
To me.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I honor you.
I honor you.
I adore you.
I adore you.
I magnify you.
I magnify you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me.
To me.
Tonight.
Tonight.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive.
I receive.
Fresh grace.
Fresh grace.
Now lift your hand. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I reject
every trace
of slothfulness.
Every trace
of laziness.
Every trace
of sluggishness in my life. I resist you.
I rebuke you.
I reject you.
In
the name of Jesus.
By the power
of the blood
of Jesus.
Every trace
of sluggishness.
Every stress
of
slothfulness
in my life
perish,
disappear,
dissolve. Open your mouth and pray. Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Lift your voice and say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
I receive
the fire
of the Holy Ghost
to run,
to race.
I receive
fresh energy
by the hand of the Lord,
as
it was on Elijah.
I receive it
to run
now.
Open your mouth and pray. I receive fresh praise, fresh energy, fresh capacity to run. The hand of the Lord upon my life, as it was upon Elijah. I receive it. Jesus' name. Lift your hands and say, I reject
the spirit
of delay.
The spirit
of stagnation
in my life.
Every spirit of delay
and
stagnation
in my life,
around my life,
expire
now. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of delay.
Spirit of
stagnation.
You are on your way out.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get out. Open your mouth and pray. Spirit of delay.
Thank you. I reject the spirit of stagnation in my life. Every spirit of delay, every spirit of stagnation around my life, expire now in Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands. And finally, Joel chapter 2. Or before the final, because we need to pray for our country. Joel 2:25. He said, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the great army which I sent among you. Say, Father,
Father,
I receive the restoration of my wasted years today.
And this is Destiny Recovery Convention.
Yes. Wow.
Destiny Restoration Convention. Are you ready for your destiny to be recovered, to be restored? Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I perceive there are people watching here from all over the world that God is doing something on right now. Say, Father,
Father,
I receive
the restoration
and the recovery
of
every wasted year, wasted effort, wasted investment, wasted resources of my life. I receive recovery now. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name. And finally, Father, release your hand upon our nation and recover our years. Deliver us from the calamity of evil and give us the testimony of a turnaround. Psalm 126:1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Father, turn our nation story like a dream. Lift your hands, say, Father,
Father,
we ask
for
the turnaround
of the story
of our nation,
Nigeria,
like a dream.
Turn
our story
as
a nation.
Oh
Lord,
in
the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Lord, lay your hands upon my life. It's enough. Lord, I'm in need of your hands on me today. Lord, lay your hands upon my life. It's enough. Lord, I'm in need of your hands on me today. Lord, lay your hands upon my life. It's enough. Lord, I'm in need of your hands on me today. Lord, lay your hands. deliver me today.
In the name of Jesus.
So shall it be. Lift up your hands high. Lift it higher. Because of time, we may not do any ministration to take testimonies or anything like that. But God will touch you and work on you overnight. Lift your expectations up in one hand if you have, and then your hand in the other hand. And then your hand is up. Tomorrow morning will be the 6 a.m. will be marathon. That is, we will not have any break, just go straight and then finish timely to have enough time of rest before the vigil. Come with a bottle of oil. It's an anointing service. Oil for yourself, for your church, for your business, and for whatever you're doing tomorrow. And then also, we are trusting God for a financial mantle release tomorrow. So whatever is a point of contact to what you do for your life, you can also bring them tomorrow, and then in the course of the service, it shall be addressed in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and lift your expectations. While we are doing that, I'm aware that there are those who are here tonight who are in need of surrender to Jesus, to make your ways right with Jesus. Quickly pick your Bibles and bags and rush towards the frontier and you receive the altar and you receive your own prayer in the frontier. You need to give your life to Christ. You want to be saved. You want to be free from sin. You want to have your sins forgiven you. You want mercy from God. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. Take that song while you wave your expectation. Lord, lay your hands upon my life. It's enough. Wave your expectation before God. Keep coming, those who are coming to surrender themselves to Jesus. Please lay your hands.
Lay your hands upon my life.
We heard at the beginning tonight when the prayer was being led. Surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut short. I decree today, what has been your expectation is now becoming your manifestation. The angels that minister on this altar are deployed on assignment on your behalf. Into your houses, into your family, into your workplace, into your ministry, into your city and the country where you have come from. They are going on assignment, and everything that is on this expectation, they shall facilitate their fulfillment in the name of Jesus. Before this conference ends, tomorrow, Saturday morning after the vigil, and by the time we are doing the Thanksgiving on Sunday, before this conference is over, you will hear news from where you have come from that something good has happened in your absence. No bad news in your absence. It shall be good only in the name of Jesus. I call it done. Wave it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And the Lord be gracious unto you. In the name of Jesus. Lift the two hands high up now. Say, Father, lay your hands upon me. And it's enough for me. Say, Father, lay your hands upon me. Place the hands on your head gently. Jesus. 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 The hand of the Lord on your head produce for you desired results overnight.
in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.